So how in the world can it already be November? It doesn't seem like it should be, but it is. Thanksgiving is right around the corner. We are grateful for a lot of things, and one of those things is Molly's. Anyway, Molly's is your one-stop shopping for hosting the big event or bringing that perfect gift we know friends and family will absolutely love. Go to mollysspirits.com, and you can check out all the beers, wine, and liquors on sale. And when I tell you they've got thousands of choices, believe me, they do, for that perfect gift and ones that absolutely will not break the bank. So do yourself a favor, head to one of Molly's locations. They're on the south side at I-25 in Arapahoe. That's on the west side of the highway next to Sprouts. Or the lakeside location, which is 44th and Harlan. You'll be glad you stopped in to Molly's Spirits, a land of adult beverage discovery. You know, while November can be a really busy month for everybody, don't forget to prioritize yourself and your mental health. And fellas, I'm talking to you. We have a tendency to avoid seeking help, no matter what, right? Maybe we feel like it's not manly enough to reach out when we're mentally struggling. And I'm here to tell you, it's the exact opposite. Asking for help really doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It actually means you're taking steps to take care of yourself. And you need to do that. Remember, you're not alone, and you don't have to figure it out all alone either. Mental health support can start with a call or a text to 988. It's really that simple. Visit 988 Colorado to live chat. It's free, it's confidential, immediate, and is available 24/7. Talking to somebody you trust, maybe a friend, a partner, or a family member, can also help you feel less isolated. Or schedule a check-in with your family doctor, who can refer you to mental health support if needed. Taking care of your mental health can start right now.
This week on the Dave Logan Podcast, a big-time win over the Chiefs.
To beat them when they had everything to play for, they were healthy, you know, they weren't playing their backup players. They had a bye week, so 2 weeks to prepare for you.
Is Kansas City finished?
I am not quite ready to shovel dirt on the Chiefs. I still think the Chiefs will find a way to get into the playoffs as a wild card.
Sean Payton is testy with the media even after a win.
In Sean's case, most of the time, that energy drain, because it has to be, would be better spent on something else.
And will Pat Sertan return in time for the Washington game?
No official word.
What do you think?
And I haven't heard that.
That's 2 weeks.
Yeah, but we're talking about a pec injury. Have you ever had one?
Carry on.
This is the Dave Logan Podcast.
This ball will be spotted right between the hash marks at the 25, an attempt of 35 yards against Kansas City. I won't even mention it. Snap placement, kick on the way, and it is good! They don't block this one like last year in Kansas City. And on the final play of the game, the Denver Broncos have beaten the Kansas City Chiefs by a final score of 22-19. And welcome to the Dave Logan Podcast. Dave Logan and Julie Brownman, podcast number 279. Following yesterday's huge victory in Denver as the Broncos beat the Chiefs 22-19.
Do you remember what you said on that field goal call that we just played?
Well, I remember I said something to the effect that I'm not even going to bring up.
Yes.
What everybody is thinking.
Yes.
Because it was only a year ago that Will Lutz lined up for a 35-yard field goal for a chance to win the game in Kansas City, and the field goal was blocked. So it did strike me as being a tad bit full of irony when he lined up, even though it was in Denver, for a 35-yard field goal to win the game.
I also thought about this season is like getting to our health. Like it is getting really
fun. In a great way. It does make you want to eat, you know, like what do they call that when
batteries.
You make that stuff and, you know, you try to put in like a few almonds and some raisins and, but really you've got chocolate in there. It's like gorp. I'm having a healthy snack. No, bro, you're eating something that like the second handful you've already consumed about 600 calories. That's what this season's like.
Yeah. And then I also keep thinking about your comment. I think it was after the Giants where you said this is shaping up to be one of those special seasons. And I'm not sure I believed you. Sorry.
Well, when you call enough football.
Yeah.
And this being my 36th year, and you then call a game in which the team looks so hopelessly down 19-0. And then in the fourth quarter, the good guys score 33 points. I mean, in the NFL, that just never, ever, ever happens. Mm-hmm. So that's why I thought, you know, sometimes you just sort of catch magic and it just turns out to be a magical season. Now, how far this thing goes, we will see. But I do think this, yesterday's win by the Broncos will infuse this team with much needed confidence. And you say, well, they were 8-2 before the game. Yes, but they hadn't played Kansas City. And Kansas City obviously has won the AFC West every single year starting back in 2016. And to beat them when they had everything to play for, they were healthy. You know, they weren't playing their backup players. They had a bye week, so 2 weeks to prepare for you, and to play so well in all three phases. And people say, well, you know, the Broncos couldn't run the ball. Listen, Bo Nix threw for 295 yards and no turnovers against that Chiefs defense. The Chiefs came into this game giving up less than 18 points per game on the season. So you get 22 at home, but they played it perfectly. I thought Nix really came back and looked much more comfortable. I thought the game plan had some sort of special things that we hadn't seen. I thought Sean was pretty creative a couple times, getting guys completely wide open. And then they made some plays. I mean, they made some big plays at critical times. The 3rd-and-15 throw in the last drive by the Broncos, Nix flushed and climbs the pocket, rolls to his right, throws to Cortland, gain of 20 on 3rd-and-15. And I said this before, a little bit earlier today, prior to yesterday's game, the Broncos offense, when they faced 3rd-and-9 or more, they were 8-for-49.
Duh.
So they had a 3rd-and-11 conversion in the first drive, which got them on the board first, and then a 3rd-and-15 in the last drive. And I mean, you just can't overlook plays like that from an offense that had sputtered the last couple of weeks.
This is a statistic that I love. The Broncos are 7-2 in one-score games. And then last year, the Chiefs were 12-0 in one-score games. They're now 0-5.
Yeah, that's just, to me at least, that's the football gods sort of balancing out the universe. I mean, you're not going to, I mean, last year the Broncos were 1-6. In one score games.
Yeah.
They're 7-2 this year.
Yep. So now this is how it's shaping up in the AFC. Denver 9-2. New England also 9-2. Indy 8-2. And Pittsburgh after that, 6-4.
Yeah.
I guess. Okay.
They lead the North. Pittsburgh does.
Yeah. So, the great news is Kansas City plays the Colts, I think, on the road next week.
No, it's actually in Arrowhead.
Oh, it's at Arrowhead.
Yeah.
Still kind of good news though.
I am not quite ready to shovel dirt, on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I still think the Chiefs will find a way. It will not be by winning the AFC West, I don't think. But I can see the Chiefs finding a way to get into the playoffs as a wild card. And if you said to me, what are the chances that Denver will play Kansas City not once, but twice this year before the season is over? Ugh. I would say, yeah, I could see that. That's okay. I mean, winning yesterday the way they won with the defense, you know, the big sack by Jaquan McMillan.
That was unbelievably ballsy. Yeah.
I mean, great call. Yeah. Came completely unblocked.
Yep, yep, yep.
And then the 3rd-and-15 throw by Bo Nix to Cortland. And then the 2nd-and-8 throw, the corner out to Troy Franklin when Kansas City has one timeout left. And I thought, you know, for certain they're going to run the ball here so they can start to use some of this clock. But Sean Payton dialed it up. Bo Nix threw it and Troy Franklin caught it. So to me, you have so much confidence because of that win, and the confidence will be important should Denver have to face Kansas City in the playoffs. That game would be in Denver if things continue. But the Broncos have proven in a game that, again, Kansas City had all the pressure. They had everything to play for, and the Broncos found a way to win. So they've proven that they know how to do that.
Would you bet your mortgage that the Broncos are going to win the AFC West?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I bet your mortgage is high.
Well, it's high enough that I wouldn't bet it if I didn't feel pretty confident. I mean, they've got a 2-game lead over the Chargers.
Yeah.
They play the Chargers in Denver.
Yeah. And then the Chiefs in...
They play the Chiefs on Christmas night.
Yeah.
At Arrowhead. I mean, that could be a tough game if Kansas City is still alive and kicking, right? But it's also, I mean, you look to the game last year. Denver went to Kansas City, didn't play very well in the second half offensively, except for the last drive. And they're in position to beat them in Kansas City last year. So nothing is for certain, right, in the NFL, especially when you play great teams that have really good coaches and outstanding players, and they've been to the peak. And so they know how to win. But I just think the Broncos, with what they accomplished yesterday, know that deep down we can beat you. And that, I'm just telling you, that is a powerful thing to believe in.
Why is Sean Payton so testy? Like in post game, we talk about tempo and all the things. There's two separate things going on, right? Tempo is different than getting the play called in earlier. And both were more successful, right? In that game.
Yes. Those two things are different. I don't have a good answer for you. Even talking to Bo after the game, I mean, Bo brought up that he used the word tempo. He mm-hmm. did it in a way that if Sean would get word of it and listen back to it, I don't think it would set Sean off. But, you know, I think the game plan was good yesterday in that when they spread the Chiefs out and they could identify in their pre-snap stuff, they could identify really what they were pretty sure the coverage would be. They had success moving the ball, throwing the ball against Kansas City. I thought the protection for the most part was pretty damn good. Now, you still have to figure out the running game a little bit. I thought both R.J. Harvey and Jaleel McLaughlin ran hard inside. Kansas City's a good defense. I mean, I would say Kansas City overall, I mean, points are what you look at when it comes to defense. They're ranked fourth in the league. But that, you know, they have a very good defense, a very creative play designer in Steve Spagnuolo. But I don't have an answer, long-winded way of saying I don't know. Sean doesn't need any suggestions from me, but I'm going to offer this. I think there's so much pressure on NFL coaches during the season, and I do think they tend to wear themselves out as the season goes on. That said, it's okay, even for a moment, to push back and celebrate that kind of victory. I think that's okay. You don't have to be worried at that moment that the narrative is going to start and it's going to be one that you're uncomfortable with. If somebody wants to ask you about tempo, I mean, okay, they're just doing their jobs. We're going to look at everything, and maybe we will use some up tempo. Not sure at this, but I mean, there's ways to do it, and he doesn't need to use as much energy at times as I think he uses in sort of coming back at whoever asked the question that he doesn't like, right? I mean, last night, I would have hoped that he would have taken his wife out to wherever and had a nice steak dinner and maybe a very dirty martini with two olives.
Colfax dirty.
Like East Colfax dirty, and celebrated that win. And then today, you know what? You've got a bye week, and now you start to look ahead at whatever NFL coaches do during a bye week. They plan for the next game, which will be a game in Washington and then a game in Las Vegas. So the next two games for the Broncos are going to be on the road. But man, oh man, just celebrate that in a small way, what you accomplished yesterday, because that was pretty awesome.
Did you see the couple? I didn't see where Sean or Bo was like twirling up his finger, like, let's go with the play. Kind of happened a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah. He did that.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I think that's okay.
Yeah. That's right? Okay.
But can now let's just like do that all the time instead of Bo having to do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're going to have situations like that in every football game, every level of football, because there's things that happen. And sometimes you're caught looking at the script and the time gets away from you. I mean, Sean got run over on the sideline by an official, right? I mean, flattened, and the penalty was on him. So that's probably,
think they should have picked that up.
That's probably no. Okay. If you're in the white.
Yeah.
As a coach.
Kind of funny.
If you're in the white, that's why that white stripe is on the sideline.
Yeah.
That is officially the official's domain. And if they run into you and you're there or further out in the field, you're going to get flagged every single time. But the point of it is that I bet that won't happen again this year, maybe in Sean Payton's career. And I wouldn't worry too much about Bo. I mean, you're in the huddle and you see the snap clock sort of winding down. The play hasn't gotten in. You're like, hey, let's go. Right. But that's no big deal.
Has Bo been, I think he's getting a little feistier. Has he been feisty, which I don't necessarily mind. I don't love it when Sean gets feisty and I think it comes off as rude. Like I hear that stuff and I think it sounds like Popovich, but Popovich, I didn't love it when he did it, but he had a whole resume that like for some reason it was a little better to take than, I know Sean Payton has been a successful coach, but he's not Pop. So.
Well, I mean, it's different in the NBA. I mean, how many championships? There's no coach in the NFL that has won as many NFL championships as Popovich has in the NBA.
Okay. But
I got very tired of Greg Popovich, and I think he's a hell of a coach.
Yeah. So I'm getting, yeah. Okay. So I know they're 9-2. So
you're
I'm
getting tired
weary.
Of Sean Payton.
Yes. And it's especially what you say of like, I think they made, listen, obviously the defense was great. The offense was much better. Special teams. We're going to talk about that after the break. Kudos to the coaches. I just like you said, like, man, this is something to be celebrated.
I get it. I mean, and I said it earlier, I think at times he spends too much energy that could be used on other things. Now there are some times, I think that NFL coaches bristle at a comment, and that's okay, because sometimes, you know, the comment is dumb. The question's dumb. But I think in Sean's case, most of the time, that energy drain, because it has to be, would be better spent on something else. Maybe, I mean, he's right now. I mean,
maybe he's low testosterone.
Is he going to be the coach of the year? I mean, he would be in the running. Shane Steichen from Indianapolis, Sean Payton from Denver. I mean, he's going to be in the running for the job he's done this year with this team.
Yeah.
Did you say low testosterone?
I did. I was like, he didn't get that.
I don't
comment.
Think Sean's got low T.
Well, sometimes that causes moodiness.
But he's got a lot of juice. He's got energy.
I don't think that guy's high in testosterone.
You don't think he's high in testosterone? I do.
You may
be a little bit higher, but I think he's high enough.
Just because he yells? I yell a lot and I don't have a lot of testosterone. Like,
I
that
think
doesn't
you have
mean...
more testosterone than most women.
I don't. I don't want to get into this, but
oh,
I don't.
So you've
yeah, I don't really have that much, which
you've
is shocking.
All that.
Because I was like, I feel like I'm a linebacker.
How's your estrogen level?
Doing well. Let's take a break. I'll tell you all about it. We'll be back.
Hey, let me ask you, do you need some ideas for holiday presents? We all do, right? I mean, even if they're for yourself, just go to steelusa.com to get some great gift ideas. You can save hundreds of dollars on chainsaws, vacuums, and blowers with special holiday promotions. And the good news, many of these promotions include free batteries. You'll also find a whole section of gifts for under $250, even under $100. You can't beat it. They also have stocking stuffers like cool steel hats and travel mugs. So head on over to steelusa.com. You can shop online or find out where to find your closest local steel dealer. Steel, where you can check off your wish list with gifts people will love. You know, when it comes to choosing a personal injury attorney, it can feel overwhelming. No doubt about that. I mean, so many lawyers advertising, they'll get you the best settlement. So how exactly do you choose? Well, how about going by the best results? Dan Kaplis Law has numerous record-setting results, along with a 5-star rating with Google and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. And get this, despite their record-setting results, Dan Kaplis strives to keep their percentage fees below norm so those badly injured can get the care they need. Call 303-529-7059 for a free consultation. Again, 303-529-7059 for a free consultation from Dan Kaplis, or you can go to dankaplislaw.com to contact their team. The choice is easy. It's Dan Kaplis Law, where the truth wins. And welcome back to the Dave Logan Podcast. Dave Logan and Julie Brownman.
Special teams is not something we are upset about, or special teams is something to be celebrated in that game against the Chiefs. Obviously, Marvin Mims, his, what was it, 75-yard punt return?
No, it was like 68 or 70. It was long.
It was long. Sure. Yep. Say it was long. Yep. Okay. Will Lutz, who is turning 5 for 5. I know he's missed a couple, but he can handle pressure.
He's a great kicker.
He's a great kicker.
I mean, the 35-yarder, you're supposed to make that. But they're down 3, with like 4 and change to go. He hits a 54-yarder right down the chute.
Yeah.
As soon as it left his foot, it's like a no-brainer. So, no, I think Will Lutz is one of the more clutch kickers. Prior to yesterday's game, Will Lutz was 64 of 66 in fourth quarter or overtime kicks. From inside of 50. So the fact that he makes a 54-yarder, I mean, it's just huge. I mean, it's just a great all-around game for the Broncos.
Right. And then also, you need a great kicker if you want to go far in the playoffs. This is going to come down to him again, right?
Sure.
And I feel very confident. It's surprising. It depends on what the length is, but it's surprising when he misses.
I agree. I mean, in his little prickliness in the post-game press conference, he made note of that. He said, you know, there's a reason he's here. I mean, Sean brought him from New Orleans, and he obviously has confidence in him. He has confidence in the fact that Will can handle the pressure of the moment and the pressure from the head coach.
Great point. Cause he, I bet, puts on.
Sure.
That he,
I think he puts pressure on everybody.
Yeah.
I really do.
Okay. So what's his game plan then with Riley Moss, who was flagged 3 times yesterday, and a couple of those were kind of brutal. He took ownership of them, especially one of them after the game. He took complete ownership. He's also been called for defensive pass interference 9 times in 11 games. So he even admit, he's like, okay, there's something going on here and something I need to address.
I think a couple of things. I know officials study game tape of teams that they are about to officiate. They also get a list of penalties called against that team, what the penalties are. And I think there's a predisposition, honestly, maybe it's human nature, to when Riley Moss is involved in even a close play, he's not going to have the benefit of the doubt, let's say, as a Pat Surtain would. Yeah. That said, the first PI, I thought was a bad call. Mm-hmm. I it's not me taking a shot at the officials. I'm just saying, looking at that, and it came from the back judge, not the judge on the sideline where he was closest to the penalty, but I didn't think that was a good call. The second one is tough because it's 3rd and 19. That makes it even tougher. And Hollywood Brown's running down the west sideline going south. The ball's underthrown and he's stopping. And then Riley has a tendency to get too handsy. He really does.
Yeah.
He's fighting. I mean, you're fighting, and some defensive backs are allowed to use their hands more. I would submit because they've earned the reputation of being a great player. Mm-hmm. Right. Riley has had a lot of business this year because they like to throw opposite of Pat Surtain. And I get that. I mean, good teams do that, but I think he's smart. I think Riley Moss is a good player and can be an even better player, but he's got to find a way to with the little things, not engage in so much hand-to-hand combat when a receiver is trying to stop and come back to the ball.
He said he was going to wear boxing gloves at practice. Do you think that's going to help?
Well, it obviously prevents you from grabbing.
Yeah.
Right? And so you've got to, you know, the only way to correct things like this is to attack it with intention and come up with ways that you think can sort of retrain your brain to get better in the areas that you're struggling in.
Yeah.
And one of his, he can run, he can tackle, does a lot of things. I'd like to see him play more off coverage a little bit. But one of the ways he can get better is to stop getting his hands so involved.
What are you gonna do for the bye week?
My schedule will remain the same.
On Sunday.
Oh, watch a little NFL football, I would think.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
No show on Channel 9, which is good.
Okay, so you're going to get the day.
Got the day. We'll have a staff meeting, hopefully have a staff meeting Sunday morning at 10.
And so we should see Pat Bryant back the week after, correct?
Pat Sertan?
Pat Sertan.
No official word.
What do you think?
And I haven't heard that, so I don't know.
That's 2 weeks.
Yeah, but we're talking about a pec injury. Have you ever had one?
Carry on. Okay, last word. J.K. Dobbins out for the year.
Big loss.
Huge loss?
Huge loss.
Okay. Like
I said it last week, other than Bo Nix, if you had to take the top three or four players that you could least afford to play without, two of those top four, you're without.
Yeah.
Pat Sertan and J.K. Dobbins.
Who are the other two?
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. I mean, there's a whole bunch of guys.
Tuonga.
Who?
I think I just completely mispronounced that.
I mean, like, did you just call him Tuonga? Talanoa Hufanga has had a great season. Good Lord, Tuonga.
Sound
like the
day.
Lion King.
I think I'm speechless.
Yeah, well, first time. So we'll just end it.
Okay, see you in 2 weeks. Bye.